I'm Todd Stone with Stone Farm and Ranch in Lovelady, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
We're seeing record cattle prices thanks to a shrinking cow herd, but strong demand is playing a role as well. We'll have more on that from last weekend's Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association convention coming up to kick off today's show.
Even though the wildfires are no longer raging across the Texas Panhandle, the need for relief will continue for a long time. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is forecasting lower net farm income this year, and the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture says it will return to historic norms. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have that story coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Cattle futures took a drop this week, but overall we're seeing record cattle prices here in 2024 thanks to a shrinking cattle herd. But Randy Blocks, CEO of Cattle Facts, says strong demand is also playing a role.
It really is. I mean, we just got to stay focused, listen to the consumer. They've rewarded us with some tremendous demand here over the last decade, two decades now, and I think producers should be emboldened by seeing the way the consumers reacting to the quality of product we're producing.
Block spoke to cattle producers at the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association's annual convention last weekend in Fort Worth. He says high beef prices have tempered demand on the high end of the quality chain, but consumers still want high quality beef.
We've lost some demand at that high end level. You know, we've started to see a little bit of foot traffic slow down at our high-end white tablecloth restaurants, but boy, we haven't really lost any of our swagger in here at the any levels of choice. It still looks really good, and we know we're going to see some headwinds as these prices get higher, but so far so good. The market's holding together well.
Block says he does expect some demand weakness to show up as beef prices get higher, but wholesale demand in January and February were excellent. While at the TSCRA convention last weekend, I caught up with Kevin Meeks with Helena Agri Enterprises here in Texas. He was on the trade show floor visiting with Texas cattle producers.
Yes, sir, Kerry. We've had a great show yesterday and today. Been talking a lot about guys wanting spray pasture, spray brush control. And on the Helena side specifically, talking things that you can add to your herbicides to make your herbicides more effective when you're trying to control things like prickly pear, mesquite, weesatch, that sort of stuff. You know, we deal with some really hard water in some situations, which can affect the herbicide effectiveness.
Tell me about the products that Helena has to offer to fight weesatch, mesquite, those kind of things you're talking about, prickly pear, the issues that cattlemen here have to deal with.
Mainly talking our water conditioner called Diversify. So it'll sequester some of the hardness, the cations in the water, up to 4,000 or 5,000 parts per million. So we're talking really, really hard water. And we deal a lot with that around San Angelo area. But Diversify is one, Quest is another one, and then when we're talking surfactants, we're looking at Induce, which is the NIS, and our main Cropol, which is Dynamic. Those are all products that we use when we're trying to have proper coverage and penetration of the herbicide to kill those hard-to-control species.
You mentioned San Angelo. I know you're based there in that San Angelo, kind of up to Abilene area there. Give me an update. Spring is officially here. Tell me how things are looking in your part of the country.
So we've had some good rain the last week. The wheat is looking good. You know, lots of questions on, hey, I need to put out some nitrogen. How much should I put out? But, you know, going up, my travels been through Lubbock, out towards Big Spring, down to San Angelo, and they've got some good rains the last week. The wheat looks pretty good for the guys that have put out their fertilizer and done the right things. They've caught some good rains, and the people that haven't put their fertilizer out, you know, the streakiness, yellowness is starting to show up in the fields, but you know, I don't think all is lost there. I think we need a little bit of price gain in the commodity price to really help guys push the yields for the wheat that's out there. But for the most part, I'd say things look pretty good considering.
You mentioned the price of wheat. I know that's been an issue in deciding whether to graze that wheat out or take it to grain. Are you still seeing cattle out on folks that are going to graze it out? Or do you feel like a lot of folks are going to take it to grain this year?
I know some guys that have started to pull their cattle out off their fields right now. But, you know, I think it really depends on what's your crop condition at the moment. And if you've treated that wheat as a cover crop, I think, you know, the guys are just going to graze it out. If you're thinking, all right, I want to make some grain, it's time to start thinking about pulling those cows off.
That's Kevin Meeks with Helena Agri Enterprises at last weekend's TSCRA convention in Fort Worth. The Texas Panhandle wildfires are out, but James Hunt tells us the need for relief will continue for a long time.
Now that we've reached the point where the massive wildfires have been subdued in the Texas Panhandle, it's only natural that publicity about the need for donations will begin to subside. But Hemp Hill County Extension Agent Andy Holloway says area ranchers will need help with supplies for a long time to come, and that's why the effort is being made to build up reserves.
A month from now, 2 months from now, 90 days from now, we're still going to need hay and cubes. And by that length of time, these gifts of hope, these loads of hope, this hay and all these, people aren't going to be bringing that here then. And so we're trying to store some of it up so that in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, if the rancher still needs some hay, there's a supply here for him to go get.
And of course, that means that donations continue to be very much appreciated. If you would like to help out, contact your local extension office. Meanwhile, on another topic, Andy Holloway has something else he wants people to know. Even though the region he serves was especially hard hit by the wildfires, the annual Texas A&M AgriLife Beef Conference in Canadian remains on the calendar.
We're not only having it, but I think it's more important than it's ever been. So Tuesday and Wednesday, April 23rd and 4th, we're going to be having the beef conference, and I'm expecting a record crowd.
Once again, the annual Hemp Hill County Beef Conference is April 23rd and 24th in Canadian. To see what's on the agenda and to buy tickets, go online and search with the words Hemp Hill County Beef Conference 2024. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
USDA is forecasting lower net farm income this year. Jessica Domo reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is forecasting a decline in net farm income this year, but U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says it's a return to the norm. Senator John Bozeman, ranking member of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, recently discussed the challenges America's farmers and ranchers face in a hearing with Vilsack.
USDA is forecasting lower prices for most major crops this year as input costs remain elevated and farmers face growing export competition. USDA forecasted that net farm income would decrease by 27.1% or $43.1 billion when adjusted for inflation over the last year. When you consider that since 2022, inflation-adjusted net farm income has dropped by $80 billion, this will be the largest two-year decline in net farm income of all time.
Vilsack told the committee the U.S. just finished the best 3 years of net cash farm income in the history of the United States.
On the other hand, as Senator Bozeman has just indicated,
We are now returning to near historic norms this year in terms of farm income. It's a combination of input costs as well as lower commodity prices, which are a result of bumper crops globally, a strong U.S. economy and a strong U.S. dollar, a weaker global economy, and certainly a weaker Chinese economy.
Last week, Vilsack told the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee farm income for the last 3 years has been the best in 50 years.
It's improved the liquidity of farms across the United States. I recognize that this year's expectation is that we will see lower income projections, but I'm hopeful that when all is said and done, we'll see above average income for our farmers.
According to USDA's Economic Research Service, net farm income, which is a broad measure of profits, is forecast at $116.1 billion for calendar year 2024. That's down 25.5% from 2023. The expected decline would be 1.7% below the 20-year average and 40.9% below the record high in 2022 in inflation-adjusted dollars. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
A joint partnership makes a donation to a Texas hospital that highlights the cotton industry's commitment to local communities. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more in my report on Texas Ag Today.
And we recently saw a positive case of equine herpes virus in Travis County. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Broadcasting from a padded room in the basement of the Texas Farm Bureau World Headquarters, here's Carrie Martin with more Texas Ag Today.
A donation of cotton blankets to a Texas Children's Hospital emphasizes the cotton industry's dedication to communities. Tom Nicoletti has the story.
In a joint collaboration emphasizing community support and sustainable agriculture, the Delta Pine Field-to-Closet Initiative and Covered in Cotton donated 200 blankets recently to the Christus Children's Hospital in San Antonio. To talk more about the significance of this partnership support effort, we go to Lauren Besant. She is Delta Pine Brand Manager.
The impact that we were able to make with our partnership with Covered in Cotton, which is a locally owned business in North and South Carolina that focuses on the promotion and utilization of their own family farm cotton to turn into goods and ultimately these blankets. We saw the opportunity to collaborate with Covered in Cotton and donate these 200 blankets to the Christus Children's Hospital as a shining example of our commitment to supporting cotton products, our cotton producers, the cotton industry, and ultimately providing the consumer with a opportunity to utilize 100% cotton products.
Now, by leveraging Delta Pine partnerships, this helps to support brands that champion U.S. cotton farmers and the greater good for not only the cotton industry, but consumers across America.
That's the goal of the Field to Closet initiative. Since 2017, Field to Closet has worked to bridge the gap between cotton growers, specifically Delta Pine cotton growers, the cotton industry, and the end consumer, the brands and retailers, by providing opportunities for partnerships and connections to support U.S. cotton production, the local communities that support the producers that farm the U.S. cotton, help create demand for 100% U.S. cotton goods that give back and prioritize the production of cotton throughout the belt.
That is Lauren Besant. She is Delta Pine Brand Manager. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The Texas Animal Health Commission has recently reported a positive case of equine herpes virus in Travis County. Dr. Bob Judd has more on the case.
On March the 4th, the Texas Animal Health Commission, or TAHC, indicated that they have received confirmation of positive test for equine herpes myeloencephalopathy in Travis County. Three horses were found to be positive, showing neurological signs, with swollen limbs, lethargy, and fever. The premises of origin was quarantined, and other horses are being monitored for clinical signs. The horses participated in a local show on February the 24th, and TAHC has contacted other known owners that had horses at the same event. Any horses that have been in contact with positive horses should be monitored carefully for clinical signs of the disease and contact a veterinarian immediately if clinical signs are noted. It is important when going to any event that you clean and disinfect all boots, equipment, and grooming supplies, and even your trailer if possible. Any horse returning from an event should be isolated for at least 2 and preferably 3 weeks to make sure the horse will not break with a disease and expose your other horses. An increase in temperature is one of the most common signs with equine herpes virus, so checking your horse's temperature twice a day is a good screening test. And any horse with a rectal temperature over 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit should be examined by your veterinarian. When feeding and examining your herd, always work with the regular herd first, and then work with the quarantined horses, after which you would change clothes and boots before working with your other horses again. Clinical signs of the neurological form of equine herpes virus include fever, nasal discharge, incoordination, lethargy, head tilt, and decreased tail tone. I'm Dr. Bob Judd, and this is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Wednesday. We saw cattle futures trade on both sides of unchanged following that big drop we saw Tuesday. However, we did recover somewhat on the close to finish higher on both live and feeder cattle. April live cattle up 50 cents, 183.60. June up 30, 178.67. August live cattle up 25, 176.67. Feeder cattle higher as well. The nearby March up 32 cents, 248.05. April up $1.42, 246.87. With May feeders up $1.02, 248.27. Cash fed cattle sales, seeing some light trades so far this week. We've got reports of a few pens sold here in the Southern Plains at 184 to 186. Light sales up in the north at 189 live, 295 dressed. But again, these are very light sales. Most sellers waiting to see how the market shakes out at the end of the week. Boxed beef prices were lower. Choice down $1.22, 309.87. Select down $1.05. at $299.21. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Phil Brockenbush, his family and partners own and operate Giddings Livestock. They sell every Monday. Phil, how was this last sale?
We wound up with 12, 11. The cows and bulls were steady to maybe a couple dollars higher, and the calf market was steady and real active. So it was really good. We had them little old cows in that sellout deal. They sold good. It was rained a little bit, so it was a good day.
Walk the pens with us.
All right, your steers 300 back, average 343, brought up to 435. 3 to 4 weights, 340 to 465. 4 to 5 weights, 314 to 365. 5 to 6 weights, 281 to 317 and a half. 6 to 7 weights, 247 to 285. 7 to 8 weights, 199 to 255. The heifer mates, 300 back, average 322, brought up to 390. 3 to 4 weights, 311 to 420. 4 to 5 weights, 299 to 350. 5 to 6 weights, 261 to $3. 6 to 7 weights, 219 to 270. 7 to 8 weights, 207 to 242 and a half. The bull yearlings, 7 to 850 pounds, 175 to 255. 850 to 1,000 pounds, 135 to 240. The Packer bulls, the high yielding bulls, 152 to 164. The medium yielding bulls, 125 to 140. The high yielding cows, $1.30 to 145. Medium yielding cows, 116 to 129. The little thin cows, $1 to $1.15. The pears sold from 1,000 to 3,600, and the bred cows from 700 to 2,300.
Good, good. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Yes, sir. You can call me at 979-716-4395 or call the barn at 979-542-2274.
Bill Brockenbush, Giddings Livestock, thanks so much for the report. Neighbor, that's it for Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. My guest, Phil Brockenbush. My name's Larry Marble, and you're my neighbor. Neighbor, good day to you.
Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished higher. April hogs up 52 cents, 86.01, while May was up 65, 92.40. Class 3 milk was lower. March milk down 6 cents, 16.35 a hundredweight, with April milk down 25 at 15.60 a hundred. Cotton took a big drop, especially on the oil crop contracts. Technical and fundamental weakness in the market pushed those contracts lower. Of course, we do have some big reports coming out that could move the cotton market. We got the weekly Thursday morning export sales report coming out. Also, the big USDA planting intentions report coming out. And that will give us an estimate on possible U.S. cotton acreage here in 2024. Quarterly grain stocks coming out as well. We closed with May cotton down 264 points at 90.77. July down 242 at 91.40. While December new crop cotton was down 96 at 83.34 cents. Corn market finished lower for the second day in a row. Some nervousness in the corn market following the announcement earlier this week of avian influenza found in some Texas and Kansas dairy cattle. No real link to that and possible feed consumption, but nonetheless, corn traders did get a bit nervous the last couple of days. May corn dropped 5 3/4, 426 3/4. July corn down 5 3/4, 439 1/4, with September corn down 5 3/4, 448 1/2. Not much direction in hard wheat. May Kansas City wheat was up a penny, 578 1/4, while the new crop July contract was unchanged at 574 a bushel. July Chicago wheat was up 3 1/2, 562 3/4. In the energy markets, May natural gas down 7 cents at $1.71. May West Texas crude unchanged, $81.62 a barrel. The financial markets higher. The Dow up 434 points, 39,717. The NASDAQ up 65 at 16,380. The S&P up 38, 5,241. That wraps up our look at the markets. And that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.